In North Carolina, the state labor department steps in when an employer does not pay money that's owed to an employee. At least the department is supposed to. The Raleigh News and Observer this week has a series looking at instances where the department and its commissioner, Cherie Berry, are not fulfilling their duties to workers who have been cheated. Mandy Locke is the reporter in the series that's called The Reluctant Regulator. Locke joins us now. So how common is it for the Labor Department to not step in on behalf of cheated workers?
So we found in looking at all of the cases in which workers had called the Labor Department in the fiscal year 2014, every single instance in which they started to investigate a wage payment case, they stopped investigating and closed the case the moment the employer said, I can't pay, I don't want to pay, I'm broke, or if the employer simply ignored them. So standard operating procedure in the Department of Labor's wage and hour unit seemed to be that if they couldn't get the money just by virtue of calling and imploring the employer to settle up, they closed the case and told the worker that he was on his own.
So what can the department do beyond that?
So they have some pretty broad powers by state law. They can, on behalf of the employees, sue a company. They can take them to court. They can also get a restraining order. So in instances where they learn a company is not paying the workers, they could go to court and ask the judge to issue an order essentially telling the company to start paying the workers. In these instances, they very infrequently used any authority to go to court. We found that in her entire 15 years as labor commissioner, she sued employers 35 times. So that's an average of 2.5 times a year for each year that she's been in office.
You point out that the department itself has the authority to pursue legal action. Oftentimes it does not. And you write that it tells these workers it's now the onus is now on you to pursue legal action. How often does that happen?
In the workers that I spoke to in the last year, I didn't find any of them who had pursued the employer in court. And what I heard from these workers is that when they got that letter telling them that they were on their own, they felt rather defeated. And many of them didn't feel like they had the time or the money or the emotional fortitude to go to court on their own to fight these companies.
And just so we're clear, how much money are we talking about here with these workers? Does it vary?
It varies greatly. Overall, we found that the State Department of Labor failed to collect for 617 workers roughly $1 million. Some obviously missed many paychecks. Some missed a work day or two. A great many of them were low-wage earners. They earned $8.25 an hour.
Did you happen to find any trends regarding minority workers?
I would say that in the workers that I did speak to, there were a great many African-American women. And now that lines up with what we know about the workforce that works for a lot of home care agencies, home health care or nursing homes or other type of social services, that direct care kind of work. A lot of African-American women work in that field. And as a result, because we saw many of these companies were the offenders, we saw a lot of African-American women.
So as you said, the Labor Department is authorized to pursue legal action, and oftentimes it's not doing that. Is that not illegal?
We've heard from a lot of people this week that feel like the Commissioner of Labor has broken her oath of office, that she has just failed to fulfill her obligation to uphold the wage and hour laws of the state.
What is she saying about all this?
So the commissioner, when I spoke to her this summer, did point to some issues within her wage and hour unit. She has very recently had a change in leadership. The prior administrator resigned at the end of last year. She appointed a new administrator, and she's come in and tried to address and seize some of the issues, efficiencies and otherwise, that could be improved. So the commissioner did acknowledge that there have been some issues at the wage and hour unit that she's attempting to address by bringing in new leadership.
Reporter Mandy Locke with the Raleigh News and Observer, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, if you're not familiar with Cherie Berry's name, you might be familiar with the Labor Commissioner's face. Since 2005, Berry's picture has been on all the inspection certificates issued by her office for more than 24,000 elevators. And it got a couple of grad students at UNC Chapel Hill wondering if the photo helps her at the polls. The research found that while there wasn't any noticeable effect statewide, Berry did better in areas that traditionally favor Democrats. PhD candidate Jacob Smith co-wrote the study called The Elevator Effect.
Her strong performances were sort of in different parts of the state than some of the other Republicans. So where I am in Chapel Hill, she ran a lot stronger than other Republicans. She also ran better in sort of areas that have more elevators, both urban areas and areas with college campuses.
Berry's elevator photo even inspired a parody Twitter account, @ElevatorQueen. It has about 5,700 followers.